Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. Thank you for joining us for another timeless broadcast from my dad, Pastor Salem. His down-to-earth preaching style focused on sharing God's word in a way that people of every age can understand. Our ministry's reach has expanded significantly over the years, and we are grateful for your prayers and financial support to spread the glorious gospel around the world. We recently received an online comment from a preacher. It reads, "I love your program. Every week it inspires my evangelism and love for people. Please continue to broadcast these timeless biblical messages that encourage multiple generations with a bold, saving faith in our Lord Jesus." Today, my dad's sermon titled, "The Work of the Holy Spirit," reveals four facts about the Comforter sent to help God's people in the world today. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the weekend comes and we can come to your house or your home or your tent or wherever you live and worship the wonderful Lord Jesus together. And today we're going to be talking about the work of the Holy Spirit today, what he's doing today. And he'll be doing his work in our service. And so I hope that you'll all join in and call your friends as we worship the wonderful Lord Jesus. In Psalm 103, we read this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Oh, dear Lord, we join with the psalmist in giving you praise for the blessings of life and the blessings of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And may our eyes be turned to you as we worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And Barb's going to start us out with a beautiful song, "Sweet Hour of Prayer," and God bless you, Barb.
Sweet Hour of Prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul station there and wait for sweet hour of prayer that waits for me. Sweet hour of prayer.
Thank you, Barb. And, you know, isn't that so true that we can go to the Lord in prayer and He'll always hear us? And you know the most important prayer that you can ever pray? And that's the prayer, "Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins the best I can and thank you, Jesus." That's the most important prayer you can ever pray. And if you pray that prayer, you can go to the Lord at any time, day or night, and He'll listen and hear you and help you. Oh, that talking to Jesus is so wonderful, so wonderful. Well, we want to, first I want to tell you that we're going to be reading from John chapter 16. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit today. But first, I have to read some letters. We get so many good letters, and we get letters from people that like to hear the letters. And one even wrote and said they'd rather hear the letters than the sermon. Well, I took care of that in a hurry. That went in the wastebasket. But just kidding. We just love to hear from you. And so here's one from Dallas, Texas. And this person writes, "Just a note with this month's gift to let you know how blessed I was the day I first saw you on TV. I was flipping through the channels looking for something about God and Jesus to watch, and a preacher that was not asking for a $120 donation for a book or a CD, but was preaching the word, caring about saving souls. I love y'all. Your program and pastor are true worship, and spreading the good news of salvation in Jesus." And so, well, he's hit the nail on the head. We just preach that dear old Bible, that wonderful word of God. And you know what Paul said in Galatians 6:14? He said, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's exactly what we're doing, holding forth the word of life. And that means that people will come to know Jesus and be born again. It means that Christians will be comforted and helped. It means young people will be given wisdom and guidance. Oh, the wonderful, 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 precious word of God. By the way, next week, that's what I'm going to preach about. It's the Bible, so get ready for that. Here is Oda Bolt, Iowa. "I want to thank you for you helped me out getting through prison by being able to watch Christian Worship Hour on TV. You are a very good pastor, and yes, every Sunday I watch your sermon. It brightens up my day. I'm going to send you a donation when I get some money. You're the best church service on TV. Thanks again, and God bless you." And oh, do we ever hear from prisoners from all over the United States of America, all over the United States. And we pray for them and encourage them the best way we possibly can. One federal penitentiary, we heard from 14 different people, and we answered every one of them. And when you send your gift and you support us, you make it possible for us to send literature to these people. And then many others, some are on Social Security, they have nothing, and they write to ask and ask to put us on their mailing. On our mailing, and we gladly do it. And it's because you give and you prayed. So thank all of you. Let's see, Kalamazoo, Michigan. "It's so exciting to read about the new channel and also to find you on TCT. I'm homebound and try never to miss the program. Many people in my senior facility didn't have Daystar, but all can receive you on TCT. I'm praying for you all for the work and thanking Pastor for sticking to the word and not branching off into political rants and vain, empty philosophies." And she says, sticking to the word. St. Paul says we're to preach the word in season and out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. In our seminary, we had a professor, Dr. Robert L. Moyer. He says, preach the Bible, preach the Word of God, because it's always time to preach the Word. In season, out of season, preach the Word, because that's where the power is. And I'm going to tell you something else. When you preach the Bible and use the Bible, you can preach with authority. You know, I don't have to get up here and say, well, it could be, or I hope it is, or I think it might be, or supposing. I can say, thus saith the Lord, period. And you say, well, I don't like it. Well, that's just your tough luck, Buster, because that's what God says. When I preach the Word, I get some once in a while, I get some letters, not very nice. I hardly ever get one, but if it's about the Word of God, doesn't bother me a bit. Water off my duck, off my back. Here's Vermilion, South Dakota. And this is a letter that really opened my eyes. They write, would you please give me the definition of grace as used in the Bible? And so many times we use grace, and so they wonder, well, what does it really mean? Well, grace is an old Hebrew term meaning to bend or to stoop. And it means that God is stooping down to help us. It means condescending favor, or another way for grace, unmerited favor. That is, we didn't deserve it, but God gave it to us. And when the wonderful grace of God means that when I make my slips, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 10 years old, 87 years ago, and I took Jesus as my Savior. And how many sins have I committed since that time? Oh, there's a ton of them. And I just asked Jesus to forgive me. And then I have the wonderful grace of God. And he says, I know you're in the flesh. And the Son of God says, I've been in the flesh. I know how the testings and trials are. And he forgives me and helps me and takes me along. Oh, what a wonderful gospel. And let me tell you something else. Christianity, of all the religions in the world, Christianity is the only one that has grace, the wonderful grace of God. Here's Kansas City, Kansas. I enjoy your service very much, but will you personally pray for me that God will send his anointing upon me? I never feel the presence of God in my life, and I don't think I'm saved. I've prayed, I have cried, I've repented, so I don't know anything else that I can do. Will you pray a special prayer for me? I do have faith in the Lord and I love him. Please answer me and God bless you. Well, I'm answering her today on the television, but I wrote her a letter and sent her some literature. Now this dear soul, this dear person, there's a lot of people wonder like that. And I wondered that when I was a boy and a teenager. I'd accepted Jesus when I was 10, but I wondered if I said the right words, and I wondered if I had enough faith, and I wonder if I really understood it. And I'll tell you the scripture that saved me, that helped me. It's John 5, Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24. It's my favorite verse in the Bible, and this is what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now look at that. What did Jesus say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and has a lot of feelings, and you get goose pimples, and you have something running up your spine, and you have all kinds of shivers and shakes, then you're saved. Did he say that? Jesus doesn't say a single word how you're going to feel. Well, maybe you'll feel something, maybe you won't. People are different. But when you come to, it's like Abraham. And God says to Abraham, I'm going to make you so that you will have a population more than the sand of the sea. And I'm going to give you land all of your own. And through you, you're going to bless the world. And what did Abraham do? Well, he didn't know Jesus. And so we're told in Romans, Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. It's just he believed what God said. And that's what we need to do. It's a contract. And Jesus says, if you accept me as your Savior, I'll give you eternal life. And you say, I believe that. I don't feel anything, but I believe it. I'm saved. And then later on, when you walk with the Lord, there's times you just kind of know that you belong to the Lord. I've never in 87 years heard any voices, seen any lights, or even got goose pimples. But I just know that I now, as after all those years with Jesus, you just know that, you just have an assurance. And it's just believing God. That's all it is, just believing God. Well, now that's not the sermon, so don't hang up on me here. We've got a couple more that we want to look at. Let's see, we've got time here. New York City. I'm watching from Bronx, New York for the past 3 to 5 years. Your teaching service has been a blessing and ministry to my spirit. Pastor is like a spiritual grandfather to me. Your prayers are very helpful. Keep up your prayers here for us here in New York City. God bless you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And so we do bless them as we preach the word and sing the word. There's another way we can bless you. And that is we have a little publication we put out every month. It's a little Bible study. It's called A New Song, A New Song. And this month of July, we're talking about the perfections of Jesus, the way he is perfect. And so that's just not the preaching of the word, but it's also the printed word. And we have people that use that for their Sunday school. We have prisoners that study it together. And it's just a little study every month. Every month it'll come. And so if you'd like to get it, you get your pencil and paper ready. And I'll give you the address in just a minute. And you say, well, does it cost a lot? Doesn't cost a penny. It's free and postpaid. And we're going to keep doing that till we go broke. And then we go broke, I guess we'll stop. But God's always supplied almost for 40 years. He's never let us down a single time. We've never charged. New song, a new song. And I'll give you the address in just a minute. Here's Grimes, Iowa. I'm so excited to receive the DVD. You mean so much, and I pray for you all as well, and your pastors and staffs worldwide. Watching and listening to you has changed my life. Now listen to what she writes. I was brought up attending church, but I didn't know that accepting Jesus into your heart or being born again really meant. I'm grateful for your service to our Lord. And I'm going to tell you, there are millions of people that have never really prayed that prayer. And it says, you must be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. Jesus said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not a child of God till you receive Jesus. And you say, I don't know how to receive Jesus. And it's just so simple that a 10-year-old boy, I did at 10 years old, and you just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, please come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can. Then turn from your sins and walk with Jesus. You'll never be perfect, but you strive for that perfection. And then here's one more, Grafton, West Virginia. I saw your program, and my Holy Spirit said, send you a gift. And that's the way we live, just waiting for you to help us, standing by and supplying our needs. And we have just put out a film now, and it's called The Heart of a Shepherd, A Heart of a Shepherd. And it presents the gospel in a beautiful, simple way that even children can understand. And you just write and you can say, I'd like the film, The Shepherd. And we send it out on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have any money, you just tell us, I don't have any money, but I'd like the film. We'll send it free and postpaid. Somebody else will help us, and they'll help pick up the bill. So we hope to hear from you. We have to hear from you, and here's how you do it. You write to the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And here's something else. If you want to send a gift over the internet, you can send it by getting christianworshiphour.com. And you can send us a gift that way. And we get gifts from all over the world. People send it in. They put in their currency. We get American currency, pay our bill. And I know what you're saying. What if I send them money and they squander it? What if he gets a sports car? You see, I'm 97 years old. I need a sports car pretty bad, see. Well, we're a member of what we call the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. Every year, they audit the books. How much we take in, do we receive it, and how do we spend it? So it's all safe. Write to us, and then write for the new song. Let me give you the address again, especially for people on the short wave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now Jan's going to play, I'm going to pray, and you give as God lays on your heart. And if you do that, we'll have plenty to go on. Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts from your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from John chapter 16 today, beginning with the 7th verse. And this is about the Holy Spirit, and God is giving the, calls him the Comforter. And Jesus is going to ascend into heaven, and then he's going to send the Comforter to meet with people, with God's people, and to help them along the way. And then in our prayer today, we always remember the persecuted church. And so we're going to pray for the church in Myanmar today, Myanmar. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, and that when you dwelt among us and people could see you and talk to you, but only one person at a time could see you, or just maybe a few people. But now you sent the Holy Spirit. You ascended into heaven, and you sent the Holy Spirit, and he's come here to convict people of sin and to comfort the people of God. And he's all over the world, and he's in the heart of everyone who has received you as their Savior. So we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we pray that we'll be open to him and let him lead and guide and direct our life. Dear Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Myanmar today. We know that they're dying for you today. We thank you for the wonderful faith that you've given them. And we thank you, Lord, for those who have stood up to you even though it meant death, because it encourages us and it challenges us, because those are our brothers and sisters. And if they are dying for you, we should be willing to die for you also. And oh God, we don't know what the day lies ahead for us anywhere in the world, no matter where we live. We're not just sure, but we know that you are there and that you'll give us strength and help. And if you have to come to that last hour, you are always there. And even if we're home in bed and it's time to go to heaven, there you'll be to help us and comfort us. And you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. And some of them, Lord, today we know, I know there's some that are elderly and they're alone and nobody sees them or very seldom. But help them to know that you are there, that you'll never leave them, never forsake them. You'll be with them to the end of the age, the end of the world. And you'll be with them all the way into the pearly gates. And then we'll see you face to face and be with you forever. And won't that be glorious? Oh, Jesus, we pray that everyone listening today, every one of them will be sure they've asked Jesus to come into their heart and that they're saved, born again. And then help us to read your Bible and to pray and to grow in grace. And God, take us to that place where we love you so much, we'll die for you if needs be. So we just pray that in all things you'll be honored and glorified by our lives and our witness. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now Melissa's going to sing, and maybe the Lord's going to be talking to you. She's going to sing softly and tenderly. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you. Waiting.
Thank you, Melissa. And I'm just thinking as she's singing, the Holy Spirit may be talking to you right now before we even preach the sermon. And you're having something, you're just feeling like, I do want to come home. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of this weariness. I'm tired of these sins. I'm tired of all of the fears that I have. And I just want Jesus. I want to come home. And He'll love me and He'll help me, and He may not take me out of all of these troubles, but He'll be with me in these troubles like the children of Israel in the fiery furnace. You are with them. And so if you want to have Jesus, all you just talk to Him your own words and say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you, please come into my heart and wash my sins away. And you tell us in Isaiah, Come now, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And just, Jesus, come into my heart and wash away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins the best I can, and I'll follow you. And thank you, Jesus. Just use your own words, and you pray that prayer. And if you pray that prayer, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord Jesus is in your heart by the Holy Spirit. He's in your heart, and He will never leave you or forsake you, and you're safe forever. Oh, I'm trusting that multitudes will pray. Then at the end of the service, I'll give you an address. You can write to us. We'll send you some literature. Well, we're talking today about preaching today about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in the world today. And I want you to just look at some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. Before I start enumerating them, I just want to remind you that remember now, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. He's a third person of God. And so you have the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are all God. And they're three parts of this one great God. The Holy Spirit is at work today. He's at work in the world. He's at work in the church. He's at work in the believers. As God, the Holy Spirit always has been. He was at the creation of the world. He was active throughout the Old Testament. He was active during the coming of our Lord. He was active during the Lord's ministry. He had began a new ministry after the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. He began His new ministry, and it was a special ministry, and it is called on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and He began to work among people in a very special way. In Acts, in John 16, verse 7, Jesus recorded this. Jesus said this. He told His disciples He's going to leave them. They're heartbroken. They don't know which way to turn. They are afraid. And Jesus tells them not to worry. And that's what Jesus always does when His people get nervous and they worry. He tells them, don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And when I'm gone, the Holy Spirit will be here and be among you. And so He says it this way. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit here as the Comforter. The Lord Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit as soon as He gets to heaven. He's called the Comforter. And He's going to come and He's going to help people, the people of God. And He's going to have a special ministry. And so when we look at the ministry, we can see several things He's going to do. First of all, He's going to magnify Christ. He says the Holy Spirit will never draw attention to Himself. His ministry is point to Jesus Christ. So we don't worship the Holy Spirit and pray that way. Because he's putting the emphasis, he's putting the spotlight on Jesus. See? It tells us here, for instance, Jesus says in the 14th verse, John 16, verse 14, "Nevertheless, he, when the Spirit of truth is come," that's the Holy Spirit, "when the truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto them." And so he's not going to speak of himself. He's going to glorify Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit then is in this day, in this age, is to uphold and uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, the Holy Spirit will convict sinners of their sins. Here again is another work of the Holy Spirit. It is to convict the unrighteous of their sins. Listen to him. Jesus says in John 16, verses 8 to 11, "And when he is come," he's talking about the Holy Spirit now, "when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." The Spirit of God works through the servants of God, the ministers of God, to do these things, to convict the people of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, the Holy Spirit has come to use the Word of God as it is preached and witnessed to convict people to turn to God. It's not just an emotional experience. It might be or it might not be. But he's coming to work in the hearts of people and bring them to the Lord and to bring them to God. So now what does Jesus mean by sin and righteousness and judgment? Well, when he talks about sin, it's not so much the sin of intemperance or hatred or covetousness or envy or malice or taking the name of the Lord in vain or all of those things. He's talking about the people that sinned against Jesus, and as he refused to accept Jesus. The sin of unbelief is the sin that puts the people into hell, because without faith it's impossible to please God. You have to be born again, and so you have to be born again and have Jesus. And sin, we all sin. And he tells us just simply, this is what Jesus said, "I've convicted of sin because they believe not on me." That's the one great sin that's going to put people into hell, is they refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:18, Jesus says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Friend, listen to me. In that great day of judgment, and every one of us is going to stand before God Almighty, the Christians are going to come before him in a special way as the judgment seat of Christ. And those who have not received Jesus are going to meet him at the great white throne. And it makes me shudder to talk about it. In that day of judgment, you'll hear God say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And it won't be because of the simple sins of life, but it's basically because they will not receive Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit will convict of sin, and that is, you have not taken Jesus. And I know what you're thinking. Well, someday I will, but I'm going to tell you that's the devil's trick, and he'll get you to put things off and to wait. And, well, don't do it now. You should do it this very minute while the Holy Spirit is talking to you. So he's going to convict of sin. And then secondly, the Holy Spirit is going to convict of righteousness. Jesus says, "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, you see me no more." Jesus died on the cross. He was raised from the grave. He ascended into heaven, this righteous one. And so because Jesus paid the price of sin on the cross, he ascended to the throne of God. But before I can get into the presence of God, I have to have perfect righteousness. I can't have a speck of sin, but I'm not perfect. I got a lot of sin. And you say, "Well, I got a lot of good works." And God says, "Your works are like dirty rags. They stink." not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy. It's through Jesus alone. And if you're working to get to heaven, God have mercy on you. You'll never get there. Because not of works, lest any man should boast. If we got to heaven by our works, we'd be bragging through heaven and would mess up the whole thing. If we get to heaven, it's because we come through Jesus, that beautiful, wonderful Savior. And so here I am. I am not perfect. I've got a lot of sins. The Holy Spirit convicts me of these things. I want to think how good I am. And then the Holy Spirit shows me Jesus and how perfect he was. And I see that I am a mess. And I'm a horrible mess. And I think of my past and the things that I've done. And so the Holy Spirit says, here's the perfect one, Jesus. And when you come in, he's seated at the right hand of God. And he's there, and he is the one who, and the Bible says, will make us unto righteousness. The Holy Spirit shows us the perfect Christ. And he says, if you just come to Jesus and you receive Jesus and you're in Christ, you have all of his perfections. And when you meet God Almighty as the great judge, he won't see you in your sins. He'll see you in the righteousness of Christ, and you'll be perfect. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's convicting us of fact. You're not righteous. We're not righteous. We're not ready. And we're in trouble, big trouble. And hell's waiting for us. And Jesus comes and he kings away our sin, clothes us in the righteousness of Christ. And I'm glory bound. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the third thing says of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Because Jesus died for the sins of the world, because he was raised in justification, Satan is a defeated foe. Satan wants your soul. Jesus wants your soul. Satan wants your soul in hell. Jesus wants your soul in heaven. And what are you going to do? Where are you going to end? You're going to end just to what you choose. You choose Jesus or you choose the devil. You say, no, I'm an independent. I'm neither one. And Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. You're in or you're out. You're black or you're white. You're saved or you're lost. Is heaven or hell? Is Jesus or the devil? No in between. And that Holy Spirit then, he says here, I want to take a look at the devil. He's a defeated foe. He can't touch you. He can't hurt you. But you have to be in Jesus. And you're never in Jesus till you ask him into your heart. I was 10 years old. I didn't know up from down. But I knew I'd sinned. I sassed my mother or something. I didn't sass her when she could hear me. I could tell you that. But I sassed my mom. And I didn't want those sins. I asked Jesus. You just ask Jesus in a simple way that the Lord to come into your heart. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he sees all the sins of the world and he sees the evilness and the wickedness in the world. And yet he says, I'll take that. I'm going to judge those things. And they're all judged already because the devil is already judged. He knows his judgment is his and it's only a period of time. And there's going to be that great white throne and the devil's going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. Where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And all of those who are not saved, all of those who refuse Jesus, if you don't accept Jesus, that's exactly what you've got to look for. I just beg of you to flee from wrath to come. And as the psalmist says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Do it right now. And so when we do, the Holy Spirit is because the Holy Spirit's convicting you. And I'm sure that right now there are some of you, many of you, maybe multitudes in you saying, I want to flee from the wrath to come. I do want Jesus. I love Jesus and I want him to love me. And he does love you and he does not willing that any should perish. But if you refuse him, you're choosing hell. Come to Jesus. Do that right now. And then the work of the Holy Spirit is in the building of the church. The true church, the invisible church, we call it the body of Christ. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that the repentant sinners are placed in Christ's body. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's called regeneration. Sometimes it's called the new birth. Sometimes it's called the second birth. Sometimes it's called the birth from above. Some Jesus called it being born again. It's all in the same thing. It just simply means whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when we make that cry to Jesus, here we are in our sins, in our wickedness, in our rottenness, and that body of Christ is perfect, perfection, with not one single spot of sin. And I want to be a part of that body, but how do I get there? And the Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you want to look it up, it's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. And it says, by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. That means the baptism of the Holy Spirit means here I am. I'm in my sins. I'm asking Jesus to forgive me. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he takes me in all of my sins and he transfers me into the body of Christ. And Jesus cleanses me of all my sins. I'm in the body of Christ, the church, the invisible church. We're all through Jesus. The baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place only once. And we have people praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It happens only once because you're born again only once. You're born the physical once only once. You're born again only once. The spiritual birth is only once. And that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham writes and says, it is not repeated. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not repeated. I can find no biblical data to show that the baptism with the Spirit would ever be repeated. And I might say that the reason that Billy Graham can't find it in the Bible is because it isn't in the Bible. It's just by simple faith in Jesus Christ. The baptism includes all who believe. That includes the carnal believers as well as the spiritual believers. Being baptized by the Holy Spirit doesn't have a thing to do with maturity or spirituality. It's a process where we're put in the body of Christ. And maybe you're a spiritual giant and maybe you're a little baby Christian with a lot of faults and sins and you're walking with Jesus, you're trying to follow Jesus and you're saved and you're secure and you're settled in Christ and you will never be lost. Billy Graham again says, in view of this, no Christian needs strive, wait, or pray through to get the Spirit. He received the Spirit already, not as a result of struggle and work, agonizing in prayer, but as an unmerited, unearthed gift of grace and a gift from God. That comes through a simple faith, acceptance of Jesus, and you become a part of the body of Christ. And then I put down the Holy Spirit seals the believer for time and eternity. The moment we receive Jesus Christ, many things happen. For one thing, God regenerated us. That is, he justified us. The regeneration of the Holy Spirit, he justifies us. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Jesus. The Holy Spirit enters our heart, remains as long as we were on this earth. And then the Holy Spirit seals us as God's possession. We belong to God. And that seal, we read about the seal. The seal simply means that if we confirm that the transaction has taken place. It means it's an impression that they used to put on lumber or whatever they're going to buy. They put a seal. And then nobody dares touch it, and it belongs to God, and it belongs to that owner. The seal speaks of ownership and security. We see it, for instance, when Daniel's put into the lion's den, and that seal is put there. He's sealed by the king, and you can't open that gate for those lions, or it doesn't matter what you do. In the New Testament, we see the same thing with the body of Christ. In Matthew 27, verses 65 and 66, the Holy Spirit seals us, and so that we are kept for his forever, and we are secure. Just think of that. The Holy Spirit seals us. He keeps us. You can't be lost. You just trust Jesus, and when you're born again, you're his child. If you receive Jesus Christ, you're secure. No man can harm you. No man can take it away from you. Listen to St. Paul. He says, I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's something else with this too. It means of ownership. He owns us. He keeps us. And nobody can take us. And the devil can't harm us. And devil can't teach us. It's all because we belong to God. What a glorious thought. Here it is. It's nothing that I do. It is nothing that I say. It is just Jesus saving me. And Jesus sealing me with the Holy Spirit of God. And I am his possession, I thank God. I am secure, and I thank God. I can go to bed tonight and have no fears of what the night might bring, nor following day than what a day might produce. I don't have to worry about death, men making mistakes or making a bad turn or doing something that might have been off the side. I am his. I am his forever. And you can be his forever. And it's simply this, you come to Jesus. You have to have Jesus. You have to be born again. That's what Jesus said. You must be born again. And you're born again by simply coming to Jesus and saying, oh God, I'm sorry for my sins. And maybe if you want to confess some of your sins, name some of them. If there's some of them that really bother you bad, name them and tell. You don't need to tell anybody. Just tell Jesus. And then just ask him to come into your heart. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And also says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. No sins washed away except with the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. And I say, Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sins. And then Jesus taught repentance. That means turning. Turn from those evil ways. Told that woman, you remember, go and sin no more. That doesn't mean she's going to be perfect, because we're never perfect till we get to God. But we're going to strive. We're going to work for it. And we're going to do all we can to walk with Jesus and to honor him, to serve him. And then you thank him. And then tell somebody. And then you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And our address is Box 2002, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Wherever you are in the world, we'll write to you and answer you. But now here's something else you can do. If you can get to the internet, you can get the website, Christian Worship Hour, a special website. We have over 300 sermons that you can get there. We have devotionals you can get there. We have the way of salvation you can get there. We have the address of forgetting the Christian. For getting this new film. It's a one-hour film. It's called The Heart of a Shepherd. And it's used to help bring people to Jesus. So you just get us on the website, christianworshiphour.com. And then we'll be happy to, and then if you want to write, that's fine too. But we hear from people all over the world. We had just some people from London just this few days ago, and they're getting some of these things. They're downloading it from our internet, christianworshiphour.com. So we're just praying for you, and we'll ask you to pray for us. And we're asking you to tell other people. Always witness about Jesus and let him know where you're at and let him know that you love him and let people know what he's done in your heart. And you say, well, I've never been to Bible school. I've never been to seminary. I don't know the Bible very good. I don't know what to say. And I'll tell you what to say. You just tell them what Jesus did for you. And they can't take that away from you because it's something he's given you. It's yours. And you just tell him what he's done for you. And your sins have gone away and you have a peace. And you just know that everything is right. And if you were to die tonight, you know, you'd enter the gates of heaven. You'd enter the glory land. And one of these days we'll all be there and I'll get to see you if you trust Jesus. So now we want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your wonderful love. And thank you for the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin, but also gives us comfort and always gives us security because he seals us. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and nobody can break that seal. Lord, we pray for those out now. We think about our people in the persecuted church in Myanmar, especially today. Just help them, encourage them, help them to know that we love them and pray for them. And we'll always give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for all of you on our shortwave, let me give it to you again. Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want that film, The Heart of a Shepherd, it's an hour long, and it's a film that the children can understand. And by watching that and listening to that, they can come to know the Lord. And it's a film also that'll give you comfort and strength. So I hope that you're right. And if you want the new song, you just be sure to send us that. And be sure to help us. If they'll just ask the Lord what, you know, we're dependent on God's people. We're not underwritten by any denomination or organization. It's just God's people helping us out. So we're going to see you next week. And we're going to have a sermon next week about the Bible. Why I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And it'll give you comfort and it'll give you assurance. And so tell your friends. You know, if everybody would tell somebody, we could double our attendance overnight. And many could come to know Jesus and many could find strength. And we think of the young people and how God can guide and direct them. So it's all in our hands as we submit to God and do His will. And so thank you for watching. I want you to know that God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. I know I love you. And God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.